Okay, tough mouth, half a chaval. Chavi is a cheres. We have barrels made out of cheres. Shanasnu behem shechar sarim. You put into it beer made out of oats, out of rye, which is, what am I talking about? Out of barley, which is what we have, just right, what we call beer. Okay? Mutaram bahagola, you could cash for those barrels, so they were kavush. Into these barrels, it was kavush of something that was very chametzit. So mutaram bahagola, you could cash them with hagola, or be irug gamayamim, or you could do irug gamayamman. Okay? We're going to get back to this in a second. But just finish, hagolas hachavis, and the Rama says the hagola of the chavis, you do yasub derazet, which is you lavin avonim, you heat up rocks. Now, what the Rambam is about to tell you is that in the other day it says that the way you do hagol for this kind of a kli is you do irui, but irui is not very practical in a barrel, because how are you going to get it to pour right from the kli mishkan onto all the parts of the barrel? It's just hard to maneuver inside of a barrel. So what you do is instead you put in your lavin avon, you make some hot rocks, you see me in Bohem, you put them into the barrel, then the aralayim lois kli mishkan, then you pour some hot water from the kli mishkan into the barrel, the galgal hachavis. Then you roll the barrel around, so now the water is not iru klivishin anymore, because it's already, it's not pouring from the klivishin, it's already, we call nisa katiluach, it's already not connected to the klivishin. But the rocks, the hot rocks in there, makes it to be like it's iru klivishin. That's what it says in your day, the same thing. Which, for us, the point here is to do iru klivishin. Okay? But since it's difficult, so you're doing this sort of a different thing to try to be like iru. With the Eved, in Nosim Behen Yain Oidvash, Boy Hagola. Bidiyevit, if you did not do Hagola and you put wine or honey into it, Rat Fedichin Hated Tchila, you just clean them out well, but you didn't cash them. Mutter Lustois Mimen with Pesach, you let it drink on Pesach. Okay? So you let it drink on Pesach. So now, we talked about way back in Halacha Yud about how kavush happens. Okay, what makes something to be kavush? Different rules about. Depending on what the liquids are and things like that, we're not talking about that. The Rambam does say that b'diavad, if you left it in there, it would be mutter. Okay, and the reason for that is the reason why it's mutter b'diavad if you didn't kasher it is because kavush takes 24 hours for the bleed to come out. By the time the bleed comes out, it's the end of bin yomri. Okay, so but if it takes 20 by the time it's the end of bin yomri, so it's mutter b'diavad. Okay, so
how does that work?
What do you mean? How does it work?
So why is there
kavush? Why isn't isur lechatchila?
Right,
because you're not allowed to use kalim without kashering them. You have to cash it. There's an isur of gzeir ein binyamin ot binyamin. So maybe, like with the rice, maybe you'd be allowed to. Mm-hmm. But there's a gzeir ein binyamin ot binyamin. So you're not allowed to use a kli without cashing it. So if you did it, the evidence wasn't because it's ein binyamin. But lechatchila, you're not allowed to do that. So the two things. One is that we had said way back then that if the heter is a double charef, then it'll be mechayle l'shvach. It turns an ein binyamin into a binyamin. This is my favorite thing. It turns the ein binyamin back into a binyamin. So if you had put schnapps into this barrel, which it was harv, so then even though it was, by the time the bleeders came out, it was any binyamah, what the Rama said would not be true. The Rama says it's mutter b'diyah, but it would not be mutter b'diyah. And the other thing is that the Mishmur points out that this Rama is talking about, it's not clear in the Rama, but the Rama is talking about that the kavush that you did into the kli was kavush before Pesach. And you got stuff out before Pesach started. But had the stuff stayed in the barrel on Pesach, then on Pesach, Eine binyamin is also. So the reason the Rama is doing mekel is because it's Eine binyamin. By the time the bleeders come out, it's Eine binyamin. If you would leave it in, and you would leave it in on Pesach, it would be also. And in fact, in Tuf Membeis, which has halachas like holy things, Mishabur there says, you're not allowed to keep non-chametz food in a chametz container on Pesach. Okay, liquids in a container, because they'll become also on Pesach. So they'll be for layer through covers on Pesach. Okay. Okay, now, the Mechaber said that the way you kasha this kli is you do either Hagola or you do Iru Gimel Yomu, which we'll talk about more in a second. So, you probably have, I probably told every one of you here already, but there's a shach on this din. Mishabur brings it. There's a very important shach on this din. The shach is in Yerubea, where it says the same thing, that if you did kavush of Stam Yayin, you had Stam Yayin sitting in a kli, then it's mutter after, then you can do Milu V'Iru. The Shachli. If you look in those dinim, it says, the next halacha over there, the Rama says, is that if you do, you scrape off a kedei klipas worth of the barrel. The Rama says, thin layer of the barrel, that also kashes it. Meaning, the bliya is only assumed to go in just a kedei klipas worth. So he says, I don't get it. We know from the kufay, from the regular yard, the basu b'chol part of yard there, that kavush is kumavushal. Kavush goes all the way through a kli. So how in the world could it help to take off just the klipas with? And merely the iri, you know, iri gimuyamim is also just taking that much of that, just the kadei klipas with. So how could that be enough to kasher when the bliya is kavush is kadei kulei? We say kavush is kumavushal. It's like you cooked it, means the bliya goes all the way through. That's the shach's question. And because of that, the shach says that the kula that you're allowed to do this mulev iru or scraping off a layer only applies by four cases. Okay, and it's a special kula by four cases that we consider that kavush is not kumavushal. Kavush only goes in kadei klipa. Instead of kavush going all the way through the thickness of the kli, it goes in just a kadei klipa. And those are, it's a special kula for stam yayin. There are certain kulas by stam yayin. It's a kula for chametz before Pesach, which has its own kulas to it, chametz before Pesach. And for the two cases that we have, the usual cases of heter, which is basar or cholos. Okay, those are two cases of heter, so it's a special kula. He brings riot to each one of those, a kula for heter, or for stam yayin, or for chametz before Pesach. But if you have any other issue that was covered from the kli, you had someone left trave vegetable oil in the kli, it was covered, it just sat there, trave animal oil, just sat there, it was covered from the kli, then that kli would need a plain old, you'd have to have a regular hagol on that kli, and it would not help to do this milu iru kind of thing. Okay? Also, if there was a hot belief, had these things been balua through hot, it's not a kula that stam yayin needs only cover, needs only kadei kli, but it's that kavush of stam yayin or kavush of chametz before Pesach, we say only goes in kadei klipa. If you had a hot belief, then it would go all the way through the kli. Okay? So we mentioned this, it's the same, which is that there's a industry-wide rule that a boat that had the last three loads were kosher, and the people wouldn't do it on trucks. If the last three loads are kosher, they consider the boat or the truck to be kosher. Okay? And I haven't...
Where is it from?
It's just a industry kosher, industry standard, that's what's considered okay. Okay? And I and others have asked a dozen people, okay, who should know the answer to this question, and no one was able to give a legitimate answer to that question. And probably, or possibly, they're making a mistake in not knowing the shach, because the shach says that this rule that you can do the thinking many people said as well is milu v'iru. If it sits in the boat for three trips, every one of those products that was kosher was like one milu v'iru. Okay, so if it's true on a boat, it's possible they could be there for 24 hours. On a truck, it's not so for sure. But even if it would be, they're missing on the shach, because the shach says that it's only for these special isurim. If what was four loads ago was chazer, then it's not going to help you anything. It doesn't do any good. You know what I mean? It doesn't take away. Milu v'iru won't help for those things. We had mentioned also that maybe for a boat you could argue that the three loads is just to make sure it's ain't a binyan. Because usually between one load and the next is 24 hours. It has to do with the way they clean the boats.
Why usually. Three?
So the three would be like a way of guaranteeing, like, you know, each time I maybe can't be so sure, but after three I could be more sure. I can't tell you that's a great answer. And none of these work for trucks, okay? Why is someone to say the rule for trucks? So it's just a tarchi, and it's a rule that has no, we don't know where it comes from. Okay. Well, if it's true. That what?
Shuffle.
To say that the belief that comes out is always there's always shishin connected to the belief that's in there. That's a possibility to make it mutter. But what does it have to do with three loads then?
Right. Well,
they figure that
the amount. I don't think
it's
a dinner of like the
meter
is more
of
just the volume of three loads would be enough that wherever
we
is
either
just
cold or sure. Wait, so how do you know anything came out?
I don't know.
How do you know that any bleed came out? Maybe you're saying maybe the bleed came out the first time, the second, and the third time, and now how much is left is a tiny amount.
Right.
Who said any bleed came out during any of those times?
Okay. Uh-huh.
So you and
that's like the kasher ring with, you know, regular kasher
with cold water.
I don't know, whatever. Yeah, cold water.
It could just be the last three things could have been cold products just sitting also. So what, how do we? You have no. You know, it wasn't like they had a
hunt. The leaves that came out either because of cold or because of hot.
Let's say. Okay. So you're saying that after a couple of times, we're just guessing that probably something came out of this. Excuse me, it got somewhat weakened. Okay, I'm not so. I mean, that mouse came out of a hat. Okay, whatever, fine. Okay. Okay, now, one more thing is that there's a shita that Dr. Chula brings in your day, who says it's from a sefer called Ikrei Hadat, and it's not Hadat as in Zionistic way to say Hadas. Okay, it's Hei Dal Tes. Okay, to the test. It's really hadat, okay? Who says that there's a din that a kli sheni with a davar charif has a din of a kli rishon. Okay, well, even though usually kli sheni is not at the same level of bleis as a kli rishon is, if the kli sheni has a davar charif, the davar charif sort of bumps it up to make it be treated like it's a kli rishon. So he says, since that's true. So that is a din. He says, therefore, if we have kavush of a davar charif, okay, which even if it's one of these special issues that the Shach says you could do milviri on, if it was kavush of a davar charif, that would be considered like a tad, because just like davar charif bumps up a kli sheni up to being like a kli rishon, it also bumps up a cold kavush to be like a regular bleeder. Okay, that's what he says. He brings it from someone before him also. That's a very strong rise to what that is.
There's a cold kavush of a charif.
Cold kavush of charif.
Hot, whatever.
No, not hot.
Cold, sharp.
Like vinegar or whiskey. Right, okay. So those things were stam yayin. So usually for kavush of stam yayin, we would say is you could just do milu v'iruy. That's what we would say. That's the shakas. For those, you could do it for chametz. Had the kavush been something that was charif, even if it was one of those more kal that be sure that we could do milu v'iruy on it, you would not be allowed to do. That's what he said. Okay, the Chazanish and just about everybody else argues on it. Not the favorites. They argue because they're just, there's no basis for making this chiluk. They're all assuming that you're allowed to be, and it's not accepted like that. Okay, but it's just, there's such a shita. Okay, now the next thing is that I told you that there's four things. There's stam yayin, chametz for Pesach, kosher meat, and kosher milk. Right? Basar u'chol, those are heter. Okay? And then, as you probably know, there's an ongoing argument about how to treat chol stam. Okay? And the history of this goes like this. Rabbi Lubin is the person working at the OU for the longest, besides Rabbi Ganan. And one of the things that he did when he first came was that he encouraged the OU to hire Rabbi Belsky and Rabbi Schechter to come there to Paschim Childs, which was a big step up. And he said on the first day that the two of them both came, I don't think they started at the same time, but on the first day that they were both there, they argued about whether the OU should treat Chol Stam as Heter, or as Issa. Rabbi Schechter said, he says, look, we certify zillions of products that are Chol Stam. Obviously, we think Chol Stam is Mutter. So we're in Kashrin. It mainly has to do with Kashrin. The din is from Heter, a sheet pan that was used for Heter, you could kashrin with Lieben Kaur. You don't need to do Lieben Gummer. You do Hagal to it. You don't have to do Lieben Gummer to it. So Rabbi Schechter said, look, we give Hashkoch on Lieben. Let's say we make cookies. We make Milchiger cookies. They're OUD cookies. And then we want to make OU power cookies right afterwards. He says, we just gave Hashkoch on the Milchiger ones. So obviously we think it's Heter. If we think it's Heter, so then we could just kashrin with Hagal with Lieben Kaur. And then we don't have to do Lieben to this thing. That was what Rabbi Schechter said. And Rabbi said, wait a second. We don't. The OU doesn't have a shita as to whether Chol Stam is Mutter Rasa. They help some customers by giving them Chol Stam, and they help other customers by giving them power things who don't want to eat Chol Stam. He says, so they don't, they're like sort of neutral about it. They let everybody know what they hold them. You want to buy Chol Stam, you could buy it. You want to buy power of a Chol Stam, you could buy that also. So they're sort of neutral, and you can go whichever way you like to. So he says, so we don't hold it as Heter. So Sir Rabbi Schechter said, he says, you know, you're right. You're right that there are people who buy Parav who say, we're counting on you to give us Parav. We don't want Chol Stam. There are people who are counting on us like that. So Rabbi Schechter says, good. So for those people, as long as the kelim are ain't b'nei yirmen, so once the kli is ain't b'nei yirmen, Moshe says, the food that's made on that kli is 100% mutter for people, mutter even the chatchila. So we have to make sure the kelim are ain't b'nei yirmen. So that way the people who are buying parav from us, who are counting us a parav, will be getting food that's kosher l'chatchila. That's our responsibility. We have to care about those people. But then we have our personal responsibility. We have to kasher. Well, who's we? We hold the Chol Stam is mutter. We just gave a kachem 2 minutes before.
Are you allowed to make a libun on a b'nei yirmen?
Ligun gum? Yes, you are allowed to. Yes.
Okay.
So he says, so then we have our own like responsibility. We have to be, you know, do the right thing and catch the thing. So for us, we hold the 12 stomachs with it. And Rabbi says, no, we don't hold anything. And Rabbi Lubin says that he couldn't believe they were arguing at such a crucial point. And he says, like, this whole idea of having two person come in is doomed. It was like, he says, it's hopeless. You know, they couldn't come to terms on this thing. He's like, we're finished. Like, you know, it's hopeless. What are we going to do with this thing, you know? But Baruch Hashem, they've overcome that and many more serious trials since then. And it's been very good for them. Okay, as far as this thing, Rabbi Belsky compromised as follows. if you look at the Shach, when the Shach says, he asks this question, he says, "What? This is Kavush. Kavush should be all the way through the whole Kli. What's going on here? How could you be make over here?" So the Shach, one of his tries to answer the question is, he says, maybe for Yisroel and Rabbanon, we say that Kavush is not all the way through. Kavush is only Kimavushel for Yisroel and Raisa, but for Yisroel and Rabbanon, Kavush doesn't go all the way through. That was one of the Shach's tries, is one of the answers. But the Shach asked him that. He says, but look over here in Tosfos Menalos, it says that here it's Chametz. Chametz is not Issa Derabanan, it's Issa Deraisa. And it works anyhow. So then the Shach said his other answer, that's just Chametz Akula. So Rabbanan says we could be able to take the Shach Havamina of an answer that it's only for the Rabbanan, Mr. Arafat, together with that many people hold the Chol Stam is Mutter, to say that for Chol Stam, which is only Issa Derabanan, at most, is Issa Derabanan, so then we could say that it's okay and we could just do Mil V'Iri and be Soymach on that for Chol Stam. Okay, that was his compromise there. Okay. But that in the way it worked over there is that as long as they were in practice, they both agreed on what we should do. It couldn't kill us if they wanted to kill each other. That's okay. As long as in practice we had a settled way to deal things. So in the end, they do consider for this din, and this is a very real din. You have a milk tank, you have a tank that holds, and usually it's about a kovash, cold milk of the thing that was kovash in the kli. So if it's cold, let's say cold milk is kovash in the kli, then you consider that to be. They do milu v'iru on that, or iru kli rishon, like we saw in the Rambam. You could just do iru kli rishon, which is usually what the tank can handle. They usually, for whatever good reasons, they're rated to handle low temperatures, but high enough to do iru kli rishon, and that's what they do for those cats.
Even if it's not a binyan?
Now, according to Rabbi Shechter, you can't do that until it's in the binyan. Okay, that's the way it's supposed to be. Now, Rabbi Shechter wouldn't say that, but according to Rabbi Shechter saying, look, there are people who eat only Chol Yisrael, and they're when they buy Parav, they're saying, "I know this has no Chol Stam in it." They're counting on them for that. So he says, "So how can we do that if it's Ben Yamin?" Right, so if it's done properly, it should be in a Ben Yamin. That's the rule. I can't tell you if it does. I don't know if everybody does, but that's the proper way to do it, is because the people who are buying are counting on that. Okay, now, I don't think that here we have that kind of a question, and we know that we certify Chol Stam all over the place. I don't think that we look at Rabelski's way of looking at it like we don't have any position at all, which is, it's hard to explain how you not have a position when you have thousands and thousands of products. You know what I mean? But Rabbi Shechter is making a point is that there are people who don't want to eat Chol Stam, they don't want to have Chol Stam kale, anything like that.
Right.
So for those people, they have to count on us when it says Parv, that it really is Parv. Parv means Parv even for you. You know, it's a very, okay.
Let me understand. So we say there are four exceptions that Kavush and Mavushal doesn't go
all the way through.
How do you do such a thing? This is a Metzius, isn't it? Like Kavush and Mavushal, if it's Mavushal,
because it's a Machlokes Rishonim. Whether when the Gemara says Kavush and Mavushal, does that mean all the way through, or does that just mean Mavushal that has a certain amount of bleeds? So the Indian. Most Yisroel, we paskin like those. That's what's important in Shulchan Aruch. Kavush is all the way cooler. And for this, we're being able to be making on certain. That's what
it is. For chametz and basar and chalav.
So the Shach says, each one of them, so those he says are hetera, they're more kal. And I don't remember his cheshvan, maybe it's because it's chametz for Pesach, maybe hetera. I don't remember if he has a cheshvan, what each one of these is a special reason to be making.
For hetera, we still look like the not by not. Not by not, we'll make on hetera and not make on this.
Correct. It shows, it's that, once it's transferred, okay, maybe that has something to do with that.
Except prima gonna like always they are.
We're getting to that. If you, I like to say, you know what's coming next. Okay. So now, the I think this is what he means. I'm about to say prima gonna. The Mechaber says that you could do mutarim b'hagala or the iru kimuyam. Okay, we're going to talk about how you do me with iru in a second, but he said first that you could do hagala. Okay, you have a choice to do hagala. So what kind of so the Rambam says that hagala for this case means you do iru klirishim. That's what the Rambam says. The Shach says, for these four cases, you could do this. But for other Isurim, you have to do the Shach's words are Hagolah Gemura. Okay? Well, what does Hagolah Gemura sound like to you? What does that mean? So the Rambam here says it means this kind of Hagolah is Iru Klivishin. So what's Hagolah Gemura? So most people who read, okay, I'll try to say it like that. Rabbi Belsky reads it to be Hagolah Gemura means you have to do Hagolah Klivishin. The kli, the thing was laid through kavush. Kavush is kimavushal. It's like it's cooked in the thing, so it was cooked in the kli. So you gotta do a full hagolah to this. So you had kavush of another iser. Okay, green is hakol. We had a kavush of a different iser. You have to do a regular hagolah to the kli. But there's a prima gadim here in Tosfos now, earlier, who says that the yukasher a kli that had kavush of other things, like it was a kli rishon that was not on the fire. That's what it is. It's kavush is kumavush, it's like a kribishin. He says, but when I said there's no fire, but it's just kavush, so it's a droplet in the kribishin. So what do you do? Kavush, it's a droplet in the kribishin, so it's kribishin that's not on the fire. Okay? So Rabbi Shachter says, okay, good. Kavush that's not on the fire means, what do you do with that thing? So if you look in the Prima Garden, in that same Prima Garden, talking about like a different thing, he talks about maybe doing, excuse me, Yatzeled Espoy. Okay, maybe you should capture that with just with a word that's just Yatzeled Espoy. It should help for clear that region that's off the fire. Okay, and we saw beforehand that, first of all, that's not generally accepted to say that if it's a clear region off the fire that you should do Yatzeled Espoy. Okay, it just needs to be captured in the clear region that's off the fire. But also, if you think about it, if he's saying that the kavush of regular Isser is like a clear region of fire, and that means that you could do with Yatzeled Espoy, so what's the difference between kavush of a regular Isser and kavush of these four special Isurim? The Shach is saying these four Isurim are special. You can get away with less. But you can't get away with less. So what do you do? Kashim with Yatzeled Espoy? Kashim with Yatzeled Espoy is like kashim with Iru clear region. So what's the difference then, really? If you say that these can be kashim with Iru, and that needs a full clear region, like the Shach says, a Hagol Gemurah, then we see a difference between them. But to say that it means this, that's Yatzeled Espoy, this is Iru clear region, that's basically the same thing.
Well, I mean, it can't be Iru, it has to be clear region itself.
Clear region Yatzeled Espoy?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say he means you need to have clearishing as well, because, oh, you mean you'll be clearishing off the fire, that's still Yatzeled Espoy. Okay, so you could say
that. You have to heat it up in the thing.
You have to heat up the pot till it's Yatzeled Espoy. Now you can take that off the fire. That doesn't have to be on the fire. Off the fire, and then you can cast in that thing when it's still that temperature. Okay, maybe that's the difference. It's not it sure doesn't sound like what the Shach meant, but he said is you need Hagol Gemura. Hagol Gemura sure sounds like you need a full Hagol, like a regular clearishing, which would come from the din. It said it's kavush is kumavush, it's like it was cooked all the way through. Is that what you're talking about? I don't know if that's what you meant I was going to say. Okay. Which what did you mean I was going to say?
That the calls of, even those that are mocked on false thumb, the call of Yisrael, when it comes to false thumb, even they would be made.
That Hanan. That's that Hanan.
Hanan.
Yeah, time to get to this. That's a different thing. Now I know you're talking about. That's a different one. Okay. Okay, let's go the just how you do Milu Iru, which is not here, but it's in your day, but it's pretty straightforward. First of all, the Mishabura points out that you have to get rid of all the smell out of the kli. Okay, if you have a kli that had in it kavush, it was a beer, so he says you could do Milu Iru and it's going to still smell like beer afterwards. Obviously, but he says then that doesn't count. Okay, so you gotta, the thing has to be clean. He talks about using the soap, whatever you gotta do to get the smell out of it. But I said it 10 times. We who think as Hagol's Kalim, as a Halachah Moshe Mitzinai, we say, if I did my kashrut, who cares? But he was looking at a kashrut as a real thing, that they're really pleasing, and they come out, if it still smells like the Isser, so he's saying, you obviously didn't get all the Isser out. Obviously, that sort of like shows that you didn't get it out. So he talks about it, you have to scrub it and clean it, okay. Then, you fill it up with water, you leave it there for 24 hours, at least 24 hours, and then you have to repeat that 3 times. The same water being in there for 48 hours doesn't count as 2. You have to do 3 separate things of water. Okay. Within this, and that's it. These are 3 times that you catch.
You use the same water again?
I'm about to talk about that. Thank you, Yankee. That's about to say that. So before I get to that, I have to just say something else. The Shach says you can't do Milu V'Iruri with wine. Okay? He brings it from a Torah. You can't do Milu V'Iruri with wine. If you just look at it plain, you think it's also halachah mishnah. You can't do it with wine, as if it's a gzeiras hakasev that doesn't work with wine. There's no reason given. So Rav Shechter says the reason for this like this. He said the reason is that shach is in and the Torah is in hilchos kli yayin. The kli was balea through wine. You absorb stam yayin. So the way milu v'iru works is that it draws out the tam and it dilutes the tam that's left in the kli. This is the point we say. It dilutes the tam that's left in the kli into the liquid that's in there. So he says, how could you dilute it? It doesn't make sense to dilute it in the same material that was there originally. Because if you have a blea, the blea was wine, and now the liquid that's sort of penetrating and, you know, doing something to it is wine also, you're not going to dilute it. It's going to still be winey. You have to use a different liquid to dilute it.
You use a different liquid.
So he says that is what the Shach is saying. That it's just use a different liquid. So that means he says it. You know, if you had a blea in our case of beer,
mm-hmm.
Okay,
wine
then you could use wine.
Right.
But he says it really. He says it l'chumra. If you had alcohol, not wine, the bleer was alcohol, the bleer was vinegar, the bleer was like that, then you can't do the mirror of Erie with vinegar, with that thing, you can't use it. This was said at the after 20 years ago when they had the vinegar crisis, right before Pesach, they found out that vinegar had come from Stanyayim. So the question, one of the things, it seemed that there was this huge meeting of all kinds of Rabbanim, and Rabbi Shachter wrote something up. He wrote notes of what happened at that meeting. Okay, this is printed of what he wrote there.
Yeah.
This part I do not believe is printed in all versions of it. Okay, it's only some versions. I don't remember this. There's one part that's not. I think this is the part that's not. So he at the meeting someone said, since they've been running kosher, these kelim had kosher problems. They had kosher vinegar running in it for so long afterwards. So the kosher vinegar, did milu v'iru on the trace vinegar. And the Shachter said you can't use wine. This is not wine, this is vinegar. So you could do vinegar or alcohol, I forgot at which stage it was. The alcohol vinegar does the milu v'iru from the trace alcohol vinegar that was there before. Okay. Mm-hmm. And to that, that's really the group, I think it's Rabbi Shachter's own idea, but it's the group agreed that no, you can't say that, because what the Shachter means is the same liquid can't be used to do milu v'iru. Okay? But you have to use a different liquid. Okay, so in that case, maybe you could have used wine, but you couldn't use apple. Okay, but I don't know if he has a riot, but he says that you could use any other liquid, any reasonable liquid you could use to do meal with you, except the same liquid. Okay?
What do you mean the same
type? The same type of liquid. Not wine to wine, but you could use...
So let's say a tray for water. You can't use water to do meal.
If you had tray water, then
whey,
you couldn't use...
Like whey water.
Okay. Well,
good
question. I'm not sure. They have to think about if whey is different than plain water.
Good point. Water.
What is our water?
Well, then you couldn't do milu v'iru anyhow, because only three special, four special things you just said.
What
but we could, if you're right, if we came up with a situation, then maybe you wouldn't be able to use one. It sounds a little far-fetched, right? But,
never know.
Okay, we have to think about it. So now, the companies have the following thing. They have five tanks. Okay, let's say that it's a wine company. They have five tanks, and they want to do milu v'iru on the tanks. Okay, there's loads of water that has to be used. So what they do, they say it like this. On day number one, we'll fill up the first tank. Then when we drain out that water, instead of draining out that water, move it into the second tank. Let it be the first day's water for the second tank. And we'll put new water to this one. Every day we'll move the water down. That way we'll save, we won't have to put in three tanks worth of water instead of 10 tanks worth of water. We'll just move it from thing, and it saves time. Also, we'll move from thing to thing. So the first reaction you have to that, it's a simple answer, is you can't do that because there's a rule that the water used for Hagolah, you can't use that water for something else. Not like cook with that water. And the reason is because the bleas got into the water, so it looks like you're trying to get those bleas, but you like those bleas, okay? And if you want them, that maybe it's like a bitless lechatchila to be trying to get to, you don't really want to, but it looks like that, so you're not supposed to use that water. So it's like a lechatchila, you're not supposed to do it. Now, if that would be all it is, that's how most people are, just a lechatchila, then in a case where you're really stuck, or there's some special reason, it's only lechatchila because it looks bad, but here, if it's going to cost thousands of dollars,
what are you doing? You're not being mabatel.
It's under your direction that they're doing.
Yeah, but the company wants to be exotic.
Okay, because if there would be enough reason, you would say, okay, it just looks bad, but if you... Rabbi Shachter came up with a difference. Now, he said, this is just from his own svar. He said, how come, if you leave the water in for 3 days, it doesn't work for me to be rude? Why do you have to do each water, take it out and put in new water, take it out and put in more water? Why don't you just say you put in the water once, it'll sit there for 3 days straight, and it'll do the whole job? Why do you have to get new water each time? So he said that it must be, I don't know where it comes from, must be that the water loses its ability to draw out bleas after 24 hours. 24 hours is as much as it can give. After that, it's like, it's given, it's spent. It can't do its job anymore. So he said, I don't know where it comes from. So he said, so it's gone, it can't do any more work. He says, in case, if I put it to the next tank, it's not going to work yet.
Maybe you can do it in its own tank for whatever purpose. But in the next tank where it's got Panam Kadashas, it'll work.
You would think like that.
Why are you saying it has some bleeds already out there, sir, and you want it to do more things now.
You're saying that it could hold a certain amount of bleeds.
Yeah, I think it could hold more, but it's already... You used part of it already. Now
if in 24 hours it got this much bleed out of it, maybe it'll take 36 hours to get bleed out of here. It's not as strong or not as... If the water can't work here again, it can't work there also. You're saying a different angle, a different way to... So he told the guys they couldn't even do it even with the evidence.
So why wouldn't you keep it 24 hours and don't say it's enough kosher to a bushel on the water?
The water is kosher. It's drawing the time out, or diluting the time that's in there. And then you throw the water out. I mean, you can't.
So that's why you can't repeat using it somewhere else.
Why?
If you say a din of kavush from a bushel, and it sat in there for 24 hours, so then it would have the din.
You think now the water is trace?
Right.
Okay, that's an interesting point. It's not really true, because what's going to happen is by then, the bleeds that come out of it, the name of it, it doesn't exactly work.
Pogrom.
Right, by the time the bleeds come out, it takes 24 hours for the bleeds to come out.
Yeah.
And by then, there ain't been name of it. Then there's time will come.
Yeah, but it came in and came in okay. and came in. That's
it's
crazy.
We'll talk about it. Okay, we'll talk
well,
about it.
I'm going through the place, okay?
Okay. Okay. Before we go on to the next thing, I want to, if we have time, to get to another thing.
So do we know the reason of healing the uterus?
Do we, what do you mean, do
why
we know
the reason? Why didn't we just leave it in for 3 days?
No, we don't know the reason. So Rabbi Shapta is suggesting that's the reason. You have to take a different
right.
version of the same
right.
thing.
No, but he's not.
Why can't you, I don't, okay. So just, we mentioned already there are two alternatives we already mentioned to do healing the uterus. One is just to scrape off a clay clipper, and one was to do uterus clearance, as Ramah says. There's another option that nobody uses. I don't know, I guess you'll hear why. Nobody uses it, but it's brought in the machaber, which is, in Yerideh, which is that you put in a mixture which is 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. There's a question in gears over there, but that's how most people understand it. It's 2/3 salt and 1/3 water, and you leave it there for 1 day, that takes the place of milu iru for 3 days.
That's a lot of salt.
That's a lot of salt, yeah. 2/3 salt. It's a question of gears over there. Either 1/3 salt and 2/3 water, most assume that means 2/3 salt and 1/3 water. You leave it for a day, that does the same thing as milu iru. So if you're ever in a rush to
don't throw that, right?
I guess, okay. If you're ever in a rush
in the world would do that.
If you're ever in a rush to do milu iru,
you're totally not. A company that didn't have 72 hours to do it.
Loads of salt.
Okay, now.
If you want to catch our brine tank.
A brine tank, there we go.
Okay. Right, so, but the only problem is,
Now I'm going to something else, which is really, I'm going to just try to cop this in while we're here already. It has really, just because the din mentioned about barrels, and there's an interesting thing that has to do with barrels. I'm going to mention it. It's really, if we'd be learning that, then it's really tough mem zayin. Okay? The tough mem zayin is this thing brought in the Rambah, and it's very negelomaisa. To get done, sorry. It's negelomaisa, which is like this. The way you make, the din here, I'm a little bit squeezing it because the Mishnah Berurah says that when we talk about these barrels and doing the era and doing kashering, you have to make sure that there's no be'en left in the barrels. Okay, let's talk about there's no be'en left in the barrels, okay? So that's my excuse to tell you that the way you make a barrel, okay, a barrel is
wooden.
You have this stave, I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, the pieces, the sticks that go up and down, okay, and there's a bunch of those, and those are held together by a metal band mm-hmm. that goes around the
usually
edge, right, on the top and bottom, that hold those together, okay? That's what keeps them tight and secure. At the end of those, where those pieces of wood come together, okay, they hit onto the cover, the top and the bottom of the barrel. Okay, so first of all, things can leak out of the top and the bottom of the barrel, you know, where they hit the cover. Plus, for whatever reason I don't understand, the places where the wood comes together, the top and the bottom, there's more room for stuff to get out than in the middle. I guess the middle is squished more together, and somehow it doesn't leak from there.
Right.
There's more likely to leak from the edges of the places where the staves or stabs touch each other, and from the cover.
So they don't pine tar the inside?
The cover of the barrel. There are two covers. There's a top and a bottom cover. The cover has a groove dug into it that matches where the side of the barrel is going to stick in. Okay, a groove is dug into that, and into that groove they stick a paste. Okay, a paste goes into that groove, and then you smash the barrel, the thing into the cover, the stave into the cover, and this paste that's in there now seals it up. Okay, it seals the connection between the pieces of the barrel and the cover, plus it seals those edges also, the places where these pieces are touching each other, it seals that up also. Okay, you do that first on one side, then you do go to the other side, you squish the other side in also. When you're finished, there's an opening still in the barrel, there's an opening to get something into the barrel. Through that opening they put in a little water, and they put pressure into the barrel to like sort of blow air into the barrel to try to make the water try to, you know, push to the edges to see if it leaks. Okay, they're trying to force the water out of these little holes. It doesn't leak. If it doesn't leak, then they're in business. They close up that last little hole and they're off, and the barrel is ready to go.
How do you fill it up with wine then?
Through that hole. I think I don't even remember how they fill it up. Okay, so now
good question.
Now, the Ramah says that the way that the typical way that people would seal up these barrels is with a paste. What do they make the paste out of?
Flour
and water. That's how they used to make it. They make it a flour and water. And not only do they do it in times of Ramah, they do it still today. That's how they close with the barrels. It's flour water. It works good. They call it taste neutral. Doesn't do anything to the food that's in there. They put it in there. It's parve. They stick it in there. They make this mush. They put it around the edges, squeeze the heads onto it, and that's it. So they said, wait a second. What do they do about cleanliness? They said, well, when they blast the air through to get the water out, maybe a little bit of it, might get up a little bit, but then they don't really like suck it out to try to clean out the pieces. If you think about it, what happens is, when you smash the staves into the cover, where is the extra paste going to go? Well, the whole point of it is that it's supposed to go around the edges onto the inside to seal up all the little holes. So there is paste on the inside of the barrel. Okay, that's what it's supposed to be there. It's supposed to be around all the connecting points. That's where the paste is supposed to be. So the Ramah says, if you use flour and water to hold your barrel together, then your wine is chumtzeh. Okay, now he says, if the paste has been sitting there for 2 months, then it's dried out enough that it's not it doesn't ask for the food anymore. Okay, if it's been sitting there for 2 months, but if it hasn't been sitting there for 2 months, then it's still fresh enough, and it adds to the food.
Is that without liquid or with liquid that it's
no,
out?
No, sat empty for 2 months to dry. So, and what happens, in fact, the guys who make the barrel say that it dries up enough, within a day, it's dry enough to put wine into it, and it doesn't have to root. And in fact, there are places who make it and ship it right out to the winery.
And then it must be something different in Canada. I mean, I'm sure they don't use flour and water, right?
Well,
plastic barrels.
Well, I don't know where to use barrels. I don't know how
many
barrels.
Nowadays, many companies don't use barrels at all.
Right.
They just use big vats, and they just keep the stainless steel. They don't do it at all. And the wine company that we spoke to, this goes back a couple of years, said there was once a rabbi who called in and said, before you send barrels to my production, I want you to give me a notice as to when they were made. I want each of my barrels to know when they were made. I want them to be 2 months old before I get them. Okay? We once had a rabbi, but it was like a funny thing. They didn't know what it was. Tough mem zayin halacha hey. Okay. So he says. So he says we once had a rabbi who said that. Now there's another thing. You could get barrels that are held together with newer, waxes and things like that held together. But that's not. You know, if you're putting wine into a barrel, then you're probably a very traditional kind of guy. You're making your wine the old-fashioned way,
you want to do it as organic as possible.
That's just the way you did it. That's how Zaidi did it, and that's how we've been doing it forever, and that's what we do.
Why do they still use barrels?
What do you say?
Why those that use barrels? Why do they still use barrels?
I suspect that it does, or they think it gives a better pound flavor to it, and it gives it more as a stainless steel
or color,
so crude and so
cold,
right? Cold and cold. It's not the way. We were in a wine company. Shalom and I were in a wine company. A month or two ago,
in Michigan,
and they had in Indiana. They had wine barrels sitting around. They had plenty that was in stainless steel, also, I'm sure, but we saw barrels just sitting there.
That's why they have the valley and run into wineries.
Right.
They also use barrels that they can put the scotch in to age them in sherry.
Okay. So you have to know also how many they really use and how many are they just for show. Just the tourists are driving by. But you should just know. But it just worth mentioning. There is such a thing, and it really exists still. And the guy said to us, we said, like, well, maybe they can make barrels. They sit in storage, and they don't go out for 6 months anyhow. He goes, no. And the guy orders barrels. We make a barrel, off it goes. It could be there 3 days later. It could be filled within a short time.